quite a week. Do you know that the work that we do in community for God is always a challenge? Do you know that whenever people gather together and start to plan things to work on God's behalf, it's always going to be difficult? There's always going to be something in the way. It is not easy. I thought that by leaving my career behind, I would be able to focus on ministry, right? Quote unquote. And that it would be easier. But I tell you, whenever we're doing God's work, whether you're doing it full-time, part-time, or even as part of a congregation, there's always a challenge. There's always something that is going to push us back, try to get us away from doing God's will. You know that we ask people, what do they do for work, right? Yeah, where do you work at? Or what are you doing for work? But we hardly ever ask folks to tell us what are they called to do. There's a difference. We do our work, we do our things, but we don't always know why is God calling, what is God calling us to be and to do. We don't even ask ourselves, what is that objective that God has for our lives? And I think this is an important question for each one of us to consider. You see, there must be a reason for God to invest in you. Hello? Amen. You agree? Well, I hope so. I think that God did His salvific work of Jesus on the cross to show God's power over death and suffering in His resurrection, and even His promise of presence through the Holy Spirit. And it all must account for something. What is that something for each one of us? What is it for each individual in the body of Christ? And I don't know about you, but I think that that should be the quest of every Christian. That should be the desire of every one of us, to get to know Christ intimately, but also to get to know why He's called us. You see, Jesus did that with the disciples. He called 12. And there were many others. And even with the one that betrayed Him, He just drug him along, right? He used them. He was part of the group. And each one of them had a purpose. And although they didn't know what that purpose was at the time, they were following. Right? They were looking for what the Lord was trying to do. And they were trying to comprehend why He was doing the things that He was doing. And He was trying to follow what was His objective. And even though He stated it clearly to them several times, guess what? They missed it. So they had to go over and over, do the same things. I don't think that we're smarter than the disciples. I think that we all are in this search. We all need to discover. Christ told them, hey, go and make disciples. And they did exactly that. What? What does that mean for me? So each one of them had to discover their gifts, They had to discover the role that they were going to play in that kingdom. So each one of us, as disciples, are engaged in the same process of discovery. And this is not something that is accomplished and then it's done. Because each stage of our lives requires that revision. It requires us to look again, to see if we are following God's guidance. You see, when Paul refers to his earlier lives, it makes me think of the transformation that God works in each one of us. That's what God is doing. You see, Paul is not glorifying the past, but he uses that reference as a way to witness, to tell people what God has done in his life and why. You see, verse 13 starts with, "You have heard." Right? "You have heard." In other words, Paul was known. He was in people's mouths. He was in the newsletters out there. He was in the constant contact emails being sent out to people saying, "Hey, Paul, this guy used to persecute the church. Now he's preaching the life." So his life wasn't a secret. I'd like to ask you, do we hide our own growth? Do we hide our own growing experience with the Lord? Or do we use it for his glory? Last weekend we mentioned that experience is one of those elements, right, that we use to discern truth in theology. And when we think about God's work in our lives, we are doing theology. We are thinking about what God's action is in our experience. That's what I call personal experience. You see, our experience might be very positive, or it might be negative. Not everything that happens to us is good, right? Sometimes there are real difficulties in our lives. Sometimes there are things that we don't really comprehend. There's a variety of experiences that we have with God. Can I tell you a short story? I once found myself with a gun to my head. Yes, exactly what I said. Oh my God. I wasn't in a good place. It wasn't a good experience. But you know what happened in that moment? I heard God's voice. "What are you doing here?" You see, even with just that question, I knew that moment marked my life. Because I knew that God was present. Right there, in the middle of that traumatic situation. He wasn't only present, but it made me think that if God is present when things that are not going right, if He is there, then that means that He knows about our experience. And that there has to be a purpose for him to allow those things to happen. So we talk about experience, and remember the other three legs of the four-legged stool in interpretation, which is scripture, reason, tradition. And last week I mentioned that Paul wasn't bringing up tradition as part of his argument, because there was no tradition in Christianity except for Christ's life. But he did use tradition, and he does use tradition to make his argument against his past life. You see, he was called out of his tradition. Okay, I know you guys are saying, huh? Stay with me. You see, the traditions of his parents, the traditions of his people, what he was embedded with as he grew up wasn't necessarily cool. This means that sometimes we have learned traditions in our life that are erred, that are deviated from the truth. Hello? Those traditions may have quirks. They may not be all that kosher. They may even be a legacy that is not according to God's heart. And some of these traditions may even claim that they are from God, but they may be tainted with the thought and the teaching of men. I tell you this because I know. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. They're my brothers and sisters. You know, I love them. But there were things, you know, that were not quite right with that tradition. Women's in ministry, right? It's one of those things that was sort of shunned and not necessarily accepted. And my mom was a minister. So, you know, what do you do with that? So let's study this a little bit. Note this. He was learned in, and he was more zealous than any other for the traditions of his ancestors. Imagine that. This was a person that really knew what he was talking about. So that story of his life really involves a deep knowledge of that tradition. What had been handed to him, and how it was expressed in practice. And he was, as he describes himself, a zealot. You know what a zealot is? Somebody that is so consumed with their truth and that truth that they'll do whatever is needed to carry that truth. Notice what he says in verse 16, 15 and on. But when God, you know, whenever that says, starts a sentence like that in scripture, check it out, right? Yeah. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being. But when God. Had called me through his grace. Do you think that we are called because of our gifts? Do you think that God calls us to be part of his people because we're good? Do you think that God invites us to the kingdom because we're so cool? You see, God had called him, and somehow Paul identified as a selection before he was even born, for a purpose. So he had to go, right? He says, I did not go to any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem. Guess what Jerusalem is? The center of what for the Jewish people? Come on. The center of worship, where God's presence was. He did not go there. He did not go where his tradition originated. But he went apart. And he took time. He took time in Arabia, and then he returned to Damascus. And I don't know if you can catch that. I don't know if you see what happened there. But Paul recognizes that God has set him apart for something. He was called. Some people say that he fell from
grace.
No, he fell from a horse. But he didn't fall from a horse. Some people say that he just fell from a horse, but he didn't. He just fell in God's presence when he was chosen, when the light shined on him. We just sang that song. I saw the light. That's what happened to Paul. And he says, okay, so God has spoken to me, and now there must be a reason for that. And he took time away so that he could prepare for this new something. I'm sorry. Maybe we didn't catch that. He took time to prepare. He took time away. He took time so that he could review his thinking about God. And he says that only after 3 years in Damascus does he decide to go back to the center of faith, to Jerusalem. See, I personally believe that he took time to reassess his religion. Redefine his belief system. See where he was erred. Where his tradition has deviated from God's word. And that took time. He had to retrain himself. He had to throw away, hello, some of the things that he knew supposedly to be truth, and consider God's revelation to him. He had to reorganize his theology based on Jesus' revelation, just so that he could be ready to make a case for Christ. And boy, did he make a case. Right? Some of you know that he wrote most of the New Testament. Now, do you think that we don't need to reassess where we are? Do you think that it's not necessary to reevaluate ourselves as we walk in the journey of faith? You know that when God presents himself to us, it takes time. It takes time to rework this. They say that it takes about a year for someone who's been addicted And I don't care what it is. It could be drugs, alcohol, sex, compulsive behaviors, like my ice cream consuming. Yeah, it takes about a year for our minds to be ready to take new information. If you take somebody out of a life of drugs and try to reshape that life, the percentage of him falling back into it in the first 12 months is higher than after a year has passed. Because that life needs some time to reshape its thinking, to deconstruct all their worldview. But we need time to reassess, to relearn, to train our new way of life. And it was about a year ago that we came up with... Right. You see, it was about a year ago that we came up with this phrase, this slogan that is supposed to guide us. How are we doing? Hello? Okay. We'll talk about that later. You see, sometimes, some of us have been born in a family of Christians, right? Anybody? Okay, some of us have. And some of us have actually maintained a faithful practice for many years. But that doesn't mean that we have examined our lives. That doesn't mean that we have reevaluated what has gone in our life and what God has taught us through our journey of the gospel. We may have just practiced our tradition. And it may be well and all, I'm not criticizing that. But is it what God is intending? Is it what God is calling you to be and to do? You see, as years go by in our lives, we may need to review our theology, to review our practice, and perhaps, and most importantly, to reconsider our call. What's God doing in my life? And what for? I mean, those questions should be part of our journey. Maybe God is taking you through some trials right now. Hello? Some very difficult situations. It may be very uncomfortable. What's God's purpose? What is God trying to accomplish in our lives? And do we even ask? You see, I remember at a critical point in my former career, things were starting to go so good. I was getting ready to just cruise on, right? You know how that feels, right? In a career where you've done all the work to get where you really need to be, and all of a sudden you see, oh man, now from now on I can just cruise on. Opportunities may open left and right and all this stuff. But I felt that voice of God again. This time wasn't asking me, what are you doing here? It was asking me, why? So I had to, I guess I was forced to review where I was standing. I was forced to reconsider what my journey of life was trying to do and what my journey of faith was calling me to do. And it might take some retraining. We are offering discipleship classes. It is not because I want to stay busy. Hello? There is a reason. It's because we need to revisit, we need to reconsider, we need to reassess where we're at. And we need to ask ourselves, are we following our call? You see, Paul, the one who formerly persecuted, now proclaims the faith he once tried to destroy. And I don't know about you, but I think that that is called transformation. And notice the results. And they glorified God because of me. I don't know if you noticed that last phrase. But you see, the purpose wasn't to make Paul a great writer and a great theologian as we know him. Right? That wasn't the aim. It wasn't to make him a hero or an outstanding person. The purpose was so that his experience could be used to glorify God. And I sure pray that this is what may be happening in our lives. That we are not necessarily looking for position, nor are we looking to be cool, but that we may be looking to fulfill what God has called us to do and be. To fulfill His purposes so that He can be glorified. Because it's His kingdom. Right? Is are we in agreement? No? We may think about that for a little bit then. Right? Because, I mean, if He's the boss, right? He's the boss. Then, what's our role? I love it. So I have a question. Do you have more clarity about your call today than before? And even if you're not certain, do you know that God is calling you? Is God, through His Spirit, laying a burden on you about something? About how to reach, how to teach, how to serve. You see, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? All right, we can talk about it. We can all talk about it, we can dream about it. But remember what I said about surfing that day in Playa Negra in Costa Rica? The guy said, hey, some people talk about it. Some people dream about it. But we did it. Are you uneasy with your faith life? I look at my mom, Irma, and I'll be done in 30 seconds. I know I cannot talk about Irma in 30 seconds, right? But I see that lady, and she's still asking God. She's 79, and she's still asking God, what, Lord, is next? What are you calling me to be and do? Can I do for your kingdom? And she has four groups of discipleship going on in one day. And then she has people calling her to do a lot more. There is a need out there. There is a need for people to connect. Are we? Well, I don't know about you, but I think that God has a plan for each one of us. Regardless of our stage in life, regardless of where we're sitting and we think we're just coasting along, God is always having a purpose for our life. Let us pray. Lord, I pray in your presence. Haven't heard about your grace with this fellow Paul and that calling that you placed in his life, and the calling that you placed on all of the disciples, and the calling that you have placed on disciples ever since. I pray, God, that you may infuse in us that sense of calling. That you may reveal to us, Lord, what is it? And how is it that you want us to be part of your body here in this earth? Lord, if some of us are not even asking the questions, prompt those questions in our lives. And help us, Lord, to follow your lead. In Jesus we pray. Amen.